This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio. Ignition. Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Let's do this. That's right. It's time for Ignition in the WFO Radio universe. Hello, everyone. I'm Joe Costello. WFO Joe, starting off another week. And if you are new to the WFO Radio podcast, hello and welcome and thank you for checking out our show. We've got a loyal audience, been doing this for over 10 years in the motorsports realm and keeping it hot, baby, keeping it hot through the motorsports winter break. Talking about NASCAR, it's finished. Chase Elliott is your champion. How about that? Chase Elliott, the champ, getting the job done. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, now Chase, and dominated that bad boy. Dominated out in Phoenix. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the race. The WFO universe was there in full effect, representing, wearing their WFO radio face coverings. It was great. I saw it all over the Twitter. Going to get into that. Our WFO radio fantasy league has a new champion. That's right. A new fantasy league champion. Congratulations to Hockey Kid. Your 2020 WFO Radio Fantasy League champion. How about that? Just amazing stuff to talk about on this show, and we're going to get into all of it. But first, occasionally there is a co-host on the show, and this week he is back. Giovanni in Miami is back. Giovanni, welcome back. How are you?
Woo! I'm back!
You're back.
Bigger and better than ever.
Definitely. Bigger and better.
And I literally mean bigger. I'm back up. I tipped the scales at 213 this morning.
Oh, my gosh. That is just huge. Well, listen, there's been a lot of stress eating going on for a lot of people, and I understand.
Oh, no, it hasn't been. It's been celebratory eating. Celebratory drinking more than anything. You know, the last few weeks have been around here, you know, the Gray's birthday,
yes,
my anniversary.
Yes.
And, you know, and just celebrations all around, you know, hoping that things continue to progress throughout the greatness that it is. We avoided another late season hurricane.
Yeah, did we? We kind of were just in a tropical storm.
Well, we avoided the nastiness of a 200 mile an hour hurricane, but we were like just bombarded with rain,
14 inches,
serious wind storms since Friday, on and off throughout the day Saturday, but nonstop from Sunday morning until about 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning.
Absolutely. And it was
no joke.
We were unprepared, by the way. I got to admit, we were totally unprepared for this one. It just popped up kind of right beneath us, right to south of Cuba, and came straight north. So we didn't have like all that warning, like, oh, it's coming. We're in the cone. Obviously, there's been a lot of other things in the media, as you know, and the NASCAR finale, for instance. And all of a sudden, it's like tropical storm right beneath us, going to drop 14 inches of rain on us. Get ready. And it did. It delivered. Lot of people, but there's always a silver lining. There is always a silver lining, even to 14 inches of rain dropped on our city and all these people, their houses are flooded out. And the silver lining is I got my first genuine, a second really, viral video moment. Yes, that's right. WFO Universe Joe Costello went viral. Woo! Viral. Maybe viral is not such a good thing to be saying these days, as we're setting record numbers in COVID cases and et cetera and so on. But
you know, I got to tell you, when you said viral, I got a little concerned. I thought you were going to tell me that you had a negative test.
No, no. I've had all kinds of negative tests recently, and I feel great about it. And I feel great about this show, and I feel great about the brand new listener who's listening for the very first time. And he's hearing this, and he's saying, what the heck is this? This doesn't sound...
When was the last time you acknowledged the new listener? I feel like it's been decades, eons.
Actually, Gio, it was last week, but you weren't here for that one.
Look, I've been listening to the shows.
And then previous...
Last week was okay, but the week before was a really good show without me. I kind of felt like, holy crap, I may have lost my gig.
You're holding us back.
I got Lou Gehrig, you know, Wally Pipped, and then... Last week, you know, you were okay, but, you know, and it was a good show, but it wasn't like the, like our shows combined, or the week before was a very good show. You still were kind of funny, and
I'm good at this. I can bring it.
But
when I
don't know that. If you went a few more weeks by yourself, I think the show would kind of suck.
I think last week I had other stuff on my mind. The show would not suck. The show would be great, but it would definitely take on a different air. And sitting in here for an hour and 20 minutes by yourself and just go with no guests, no co-hosts, nobody bounce the ball off of, it definitely takes a different level of intensity.
And again, I understand. Look, 1 week, the show was actually, you know... Dare I say, it might have been better that first week without me. But
I agree.
Last week you sucked.
No,
and so
that's
why
week
I'm back.
Did not suck.
I'm
that's
back,
not why you're
man.
Back.
You cannot do this shit without me. Dude.
Oh, my God.
Come on, let's be
guy.
Honest here.
Did you
all
just
right?
use profanity?
I am.
What about the children?
I am the rock that makes this show roll. All right? Let's.
You're failing to concede.
I will not.
let's just move forward. That's what we need to do in times like this, is just move forward and get things going. We've got some big things going on. We got Chase Elliott is now the NASCAR Cup Series champion, like third youngest champion, dominated the race, started from the rear of the field, drove up, he and Joey, but when push came to shove, he was able to get out there and win the race, and that's it. Undisputed. Got the job done. Let's hear from our new champion. And how many years now has the guy who won the championship won the race? Like, since they created this?
Since 2014, to be precise.
Okay, isn't that a little suspicious? I'm just like, if nothing else, isn't that a little suspicious? Like, I know.
Well, how about the fact that the guys, the four guys that are running for the championship run 1 through 4 nose to tail for 90% of the race, whether it's in Phoenix like it was this year or the last 6 years at Homestead.
Right. Okay, so I'm not calling any kind of foul play at all. But come on, race fans. Isn't that a little suspicious?
But in a way, you kind of get it. The other guys don't want to get in the way. They don't want to be the ones to decide a championship or not decide it.
So what's happening?
Really
somebody
involved?
Out there, somebody's got a good car. Kevin Harvick's got a great car that can go to the front, and he's like,
no.
Eh. Or is
well,
it?
But I don't think we've seen that. I don't think we've seen a spot where anybody had that great of a car.
So you know, not
like,
once.
Going back as far as we can think of. Think of that year, Tony Stewart, Carl Edwards, you know.
So not
Joey
once.
Joey a couple years ago.
So not once did a guy who was eliminated in the second to last round, because we always say chase drivers, playoff drivers win playoff races, right? So you got to the final round, but got eliminated. And you're obviously very good. Not once has one of those guys gone up and won the final race. You'd think that that would happen at some point. Now, I know the answer. I don't bring up questions without knowing the answers. And the answer is...
Remember that time? Who was it that was driving the 42 car that was about to win a race at Homestead, and you and I were
Casey
running
Mears.
To the infield?
Casey Mears. And there was a debris caution.
And
let him win that.
And we got the
get him off the track.
The Diego Maradona, who God bless him, he's recuperating in a hospital some weird brain surgery because he, you know, who knows what he did or what happened exactly, but he had an incident episode over the weekend. The hand of God, Diego Maradona, and you and I were running to the infield, and a caution came out, and we were able to make it to the end of race festivities when Casey Mears did not win the race.
Right. The debris caution came out and cost him his whole career, because that would have definitely changed things. You get a race win like that. But what it is a combination of all of these things. Yes, the drivers don't want to get in the middle of the championship race, but the modeling and the computer sims and all the work that goes in with these four obviously championship caliber teams to this track, which they've been planning for the championship the whole time. And as they get closer and closer and closer, they're working on it more and more and more. It just goes to show what can be accomplished if you really focus on one thing. And they're all focusing on it. Those other teams, you know, they're focusing, but not in the same way. They can't win a championship. And so every year it's been crazy. And that's why the Daytona 500 is such a big deal, because every team focuses on the Daytona 500 like that, like these four teams have focused on this final race. Now, before we hear Chase Elliott, Los Chingones, Little Low, Jay Selig, a lot of our WFO radio listeners were out there hanging out. The racing was fun. The racing was exciting. It was raining in South Florida. It was the perfect move for the perfect year to move it to Phoenix. But let's be honest.
It was a tropical storm.
It was a tropical storm. It would have been
the second week of November, or I guess technically the first weekend of November.
It would have been a total washout, so it actually works out. But I want to know real opinions here. Real opinions. Joe@WFOradio.com. Do not allow me to sway you in any way. Did you find that race to be as compelling as the Homestead races? That's my question.
Well, since you ask, the reality is that while, you know, I hate to say it, and I don't want to come across as a homer, but I feel like if the races here were more competitive, this race, I feel like if Chase Elliott really had the dominant car, he started in the back and worked his way up through the front through that first stage.
Yeah, while Joey's leading, really no battling at front, really no battling at all. Joey just leading, and then Chase working his way up.
And Brad got him at the last couple of laps right before the second stage to win the second stage. But it was pretty clear that by that point that Chase had the dominant car, as he was able to just run through the field after getting the penalty for not making it through pre-race inspection on the first shot. And he actually failed twice before they finally made it. But
thank goodness.
Whatever. I saw a thing where somebody was yelling at Bob Pockrass online about that. Oh my goodness, they cheated, and nobody's talking about that. And that's in my opinion beyond ridiculous. Failing pre-race inspection is nowhere near cheating. When either way, I'm not even going to entertain it. But I saw that, and it just really made me understand that either these people are not real NASCAR fans, or oh my goodness, is this the kind of place that we're living in where if you fail inspection like 20 some other cars did, all of a sudden you're a bunch of cheaters, you know?
Right.
Especially now in this day and age where they have no practice, no qualifying, no nothing. You just show up on race day and you race for what you got.
Which I'm loving, by the way. So let's hear from our newest race winner and our newest NASCAR Cup Series champion. The prophecy comes to pass. The prodigal son has returned. Chase Elliott.
Yeah, just crazy. I mean, heck, how could you? I'm not sure I could have sat down and drawn it up any better, you know? So I just, you know, for me, it's unbelievable. It's something that I'm not sure I know I haven't let it sink in yet. I'm waiting on it to hit me, and I'm going to break down and look like a fool here in a minute. I know it's coming, so I really hope I get done with all this media before that happens. But, you know, just so grateful for the opportunities and things that I've had over the years. Great people, you know, my mom and dad, and their support obviously has been there from the beginning. Mr. Hendrick came in and really changed my life. When he wanted to help. And then, you know, not to sound like a NASCAR driver, but Napa Auto Parts too, you know, coming in when they did. I mean, you know, 2014 wouldn't have happened without them and the championship that came that season. And man, they've been a champion partner for years, and now they have a championship to go with it. So, very grateful for a lot of great people and, more people than I named that have got me here today.
Chase Elliott. There you go. Chase, the newest champ. Congratulations to Chase and all his fans and Rick Hendrick and Chevrolet for getting back in the winner's circle. Jimmy Johnson's final race. We'll talk a little bit about that. It was very sad. Just, you know, the time goes by. Like, oh, my God, Jimmy, I remember when he was young. And I remember sitting at the back of his hauler and doing an interview with him at Homestead Miami Speedway. And he's gone on to such amazing, great things. And I've stayed pretty much in the same place and even regressed a little bit. It's been sad, but whatever. and Chase to go
awesome
on
Chase from Dawsonville.
Awesome oh, Chase from Dawsonville. And they're ringing the bell and they're playing the giving everybody free air hockey or whatever they do when an Elliott wins. Amazing stuff. Good for Chase.
No, it's a siren. It's an air raid.
It's not free air hockey. It's free air hockey. All right, I want to say a couple of other things. Obviously, we're going to get into the Fantasy League results. From what I understand, Hockey Kid, who will now have his name on the trophy, was super excited, fist pumping, going crazy, feeling the pressure as spots were being gained and lost, and he was watching Brad Kay. We're going to get into all of this. Hockey Kid is going to be on the show. He's not going to be on the show this week, though, because this guy's got to work. You know,
the man called.
Right. The man calls him in. Doesn't you realize that
Hockey Kid was going to be on the show and the man came a calling? By the way, you know, you made a quick little reference earlier as to your little viral video.
My viral video.
But someone just forwarded me a screenshot. Apparently, your viral video has been referenced in the Weather Channel on a push.
Oh, really? Send it. Listen, everybody needs to understand. I'm having me talking about racing right now is just me dutifully doing my
job.
Joe's
been having a moment, by the way, guys.
I'm having a viral video moment. What's happening? It's incredible. Now, yeah, the COVID has kind of ruined me saying viral video over and over again. But viral video, baby, I'm going viral. Viral video.
Well, I don't know if you're talking about viral, like your video's blowing up.
All right, so I'll tell the viral video story.
Or viral, like, oh, crap, somebody caught the COVID.
No, got the Rona. No, I'm going to tell the viral video story, but we're going to give the show and the NASCAR and the Fantasy League the top billing over my 300,000 video in the last 24 hours post, okay? 300,000 views, y'all. That's what WFO Joe does. That's what I do. And if you follow me on Twitter, you should already know this already because you've all retweeted it. Everybody has retweeted this thing. It's been the greatest viral video moment, or maybe the second greatest ever. But here we go. Let's get into the 33rd annual season finale 500 at Phoenix Raceway in Avondale, Arizona. And the Los Chincones were there, and the Jay Selig was there, and some others were there, and they all had a great time, and it was tremendous, and Jimmy Johnson's final race. And let's get into it. Chase Elliott wins the race. Brad Keselowski was second. Good job, Brad. And Joey Logano, rounding out the top three. Denny Hamlin was fourth. And what more can you ask for other than for it to not feel a little fishy? That the championship four finish in the top four, and Jimmy Johnson, who is in his final race, finishes fifth. Like, if you're going to draw it up, that's the way you draw it up. Like, wow, what a great job by everybody, and it was fun and exciting. Chase stunk up the show a little bit. At least he started from the rear. But there you go. The 2020 NASCAR Cup Series season is in the books. It is over. Sixth was Ryan Blaney. Seventh, Kevin Harvick. Had to eat him alive, but they, you know, they didn't have a good race. They stayed out of the way. They the last couple races were not that great for Kevin Harvick. Matty D, eighth. Ninth, William Byron. 10th, Martin Truex Jr. 11th, Kyle Busch. 12th, Kurt Busch. 13th, Eric Almirola. 14th, Clint Bowyer. 15th, Bubba Wallace. How about that? Alex Bowman, 16th. Christopher Bell, 17th. Austin Dillon, 18th. Tyler Riddick, 19th. Chris Buescher, 20th. Ty Dillon, 21st. Eric Jones, 22nd. Michael McDowell, 23rd. 24th was Ryan Newman. 25th, Matt Kenseth. I guess his last race, right, Kenseth? John Hunter Nemechek, 26th. He's like, how come I'm not getting all the fanfare? 26th, John Hunter Nemechek. 27th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 28th, Cole Custer. That was my mistake. That's it, Stubo. That's the mistake. We'll talk fantasy in a second. Brennan Poole, J.J. Yaley, Daniel Suarez, Joey Gase, James Davison, Ryan Preece, Josh Bilicki, Timmy Hill, Garrett Smitley, Corey LaJoie and Quinn Hoff rounding out the field of 39 in the season finale 500. No sponsor. Chase's 11th victory in the NASCAR Cup Series season. 11 victories, he's already a champion. That's amazing. The kid grew up in racing. And our great friend Phil DeMont-Mollen, who you should be following on Twitter, tweeted out a great photograph of Chase and his dad in the winner's circle at Homestead Miami Speedway, Chase as a little boy. And we were at that race. Remember that, Gio? Yeah, you're on mute, brother. You've muted yourself. He's doing,
oh, see, I remember very much.
He doesn't know how to do this show anymore. When you miss a week. You miss a week and you forget how to fly the plane.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
1 week I passed out on the couch, and then the other week, you know, it was on you. But
was it on me?
1 week was on me, I feel like, and 1 week was on you.
All right. All right. No, I think both weeks were on you.
But I don't know about all that.
There it is. No, it definitely was. Oh, there it is. The weather.
You know, I'm not the one who changed the schedule, so.
Did I change the schedule?
If.
Well, I was taking a class.
You know, in the Venn diagram of the world.
Right now, it is 8:40 p.m. on Monday night. And for the past 3 weeks, I have been doing a course at the University
of Miami. Look, I'm not going to get into what you do and what you don't do.
But
that's
important.
Not my problem.
It's very important. It's very important.
But the fact is that at this time,
yeah,
when I'm still, you know, semi-conscious, and especially on a day like today, where, as you know, fate would have it, I ended up not having to go into the office because we got a hurricane day.
We had a hurricane.
Way late in the season that weren't accustomed to this far. But, hey, I'll take it. I spent the day around this house, you know, working the land, as you would like to say, you know, doing things around here to get things done.
Is that what you call it? All right. Nobody cares is real answer where you
were.
Nobody cares.
You know, you were available at the time that the show was scheduled to be on, and not a few hours later where the last couple of weeks, with nothing to do with my fault, the outside forces acted upon me and did not allow me to be on the show at the time that you were available because I had, for whatever reasons, passed out on the couch by the time that you were available.
What was that? The audience thinks you're over-explaining and that because you're over-explaining, it gives an air of guilt. That's just kind of what it feels like. It does. It does.
I'll try to over-explain so that it's not my fault. But the last thing that I ever feel is guilt.
It seems like
that's definitely not one of the feelings.
It seems like.
Well, you know, I may not feel like, oh, okay, you know, I'll give an extra explanation. I definitely don't feel guilty. That's not the case by any means.
That's not what the audience thinks. Let's get into the WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR League. And then we can talk about my viral video and some other things that have happened. And, you know, normally I give bad news first, but it's bad news, good news. And there's something I want to go into a little bit more in depth. I want to get the important stuff out of the way. People are, well, this is important too. See, I don't want to characterize it in a negative way because it's a, well, no, someone in the WFO universe that we like got hurt really badly, and I want to spend some time on it, but it's going to be a down thing. And so we're going to get past the joyousness, and then we're going to go on a journey, man. It's going to be down, and it's going to be up, and it's going to be a whole thing. And we're going to end off with Sports Collision, which is going to be fantastic. And that's why everybody loves this podcast so much, because they just don't know which direction it's going to go. Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be up? Is it going to be down? Are we going to learn history? Are killer robots going to attack you?
I don't want to hear that song anymore today.
Which one?
You know what I'm talking about.
No.
The goddamn dolphin song, dude.
Oh, that's right. I'll get it going.
If I have, you know, I generally don't want to hear that today.
Well,
we could talk about it, but man, your team needs a new song.
No.
All right. Everything else about it is so great. You know, it seems like you got the Dolphins have finally found the coach. And at this moment, two games in, Tua definitely looks like a quarterback.
That's right.
Is going to do
all right. Don't waste the material. You're killing all our late show material.
Man, that song is way, way, way too old.
No.
It needs a refresher.
No,
that song
not.
Needs a refresher.
Definitely not. You're crazy. It does. No, you're insane. This is insanity what you speak.
It does.
No.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking like the Fins Up or whatever that damn song with the guy from the Keys is.
You know, I think that the New York Yankees theme is
the Margaritaville
is
guy.
A classic theme, and we love that. Why?
Look, let's just start with we all know that the Dolphins stole a song from the Houston Oilers, who are no longer in existence. But no, man, that's, come on, that song. It, there needs to be something better than that. Dude.
No. This is a great song. What are you talking about? That's the thing. It's the whole thing. It's just like this. That's obviously old. It's an old song from a far bygone era, but that's not what it's about. It's about tradition. You got to have the traditional song that connects the generations. You don't always, it's going to be hip hop and bebop and all that stuff. Nobody cares about that.
You know, man, I'm not, I didn't ask for it to be hip hop.
You can't recreate, there's no new football team song that works. There's none. It never works. You never recreate the new stuff. They have to be old. You can't have a new theme. Remember when what's-his-name tried to create the new Marlins theme? And it was a horrible nightmare embarrassment? DJ Khaled? We the best. Yeah. He got paid for that. That's the thing, man. He got paid for that. No, we're leaving the Dolphins fight song. Some people are annoyed by it, and that's good.
Not that it's annoying. It's just, come on, man. Look, the autumn wind is definitely not a dolphin.
Well, the autumn wind is a great thing. Do I secretly wish we had the autumn wind instead of this? But you know, visions of Dan Marino and Don Shula and Larry Zonka running over people are filling my head. And that's it. This is what we got. It can't all be the autumn wind is a Raider. Yes, that's cool.
What are you talking about, man? Now there's visions of Tua and a bunch of nobodies around him. Tua and Coach Flo, man.
That's all true, but we'll save that for
And
me.
The no-name defense.
It's incredible. No, what's happening in Dolphinland is actually an incredible thing.
Is that four in a row?
It's four in a row.
All right. You know, let's get on with the show so we can talk about this later on. Because
no, I know. It's
exciting. I know that you're, I see you. You're foaming at the mouth.
I am.
And I got to tell you.
You're tired and you want to get out
of here. I've always wanted to root for the Dolphins, and it's always broken my heart.
Oh, here he comes.
And I can't. And my wife one time told me that if I didn't get over this situation, she was going to leave me.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. It was that time in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was horrible for my wedding. And we all lost. We lost
a lot
of
money. Exactly what I'm talking about.
We lost a lot of money. A lot of money. Yeah. Thanks to Linda.
Yeah. No joke. Like,
and
we all lost we lost some of our child's, at least a couple of years of our children's education that year.
That was bad.
All right.
Man. Let
me tell
you. That was a bad beat, Gio. We got to let it go. That was a bad beat. Let's talk about that later.
And so I stopped
even
watching Dolphin games after that because I didn't want to get divorced. You know, I wasn't going to go to like any marriage counseling or any of that crap. I was going straight to the divorce court. My wife said, this is over. You're never going to ruin another one of my vacations or happy moments with your stupid Dolphins and your, you know, all this situation.
Can we time out? Save this for later. Let me get into it. This is definitely a bad
beat
story.
You know, like, what's going on now is a very happy moment. I gotta tell you.
Listen, everybody who listens to this show on a regular basis knows that for the past 2 years, one of the two guys on the show has been positive energy for the Dolphins and pumping it up, and the other has been nothing but negative, and now he's changing his tune right now. He's flip-flopping like a fish out of water, which is fine. There's room on the bandwagon for you, but it's...
Dolphins a mammal.
Yeah, he's flip-flopping like a fish out of water. All right, let's get back into the fantasy league. This is what everybody wants to know about. The most challenging fantasy NASCAR league in the world. The outgoing champion, Mr. Fantasy NASCAR. Great year, great job, appreciated. But this year it was Hockey Kid who got it done. Strong season, nearly start to finish. We're going to speak with him next week on the show. He works, and so we're going to have to connect with him like during the day. I'll pre-record with Hockey Kid, and we're going to talk about this. But his dad, Marcus, like I remember hanging with Hockey Kid out at Route 66 Dragway. We were there, and
hung out. Dude, we saw them down here. They came and picked up tickets for the Homestead race for me a few years ago at my office, and we saw them at the Homestead Miami Speedway. I want to say like in 2016, maybe 2017.
See, it's incredible. Like, this kid's a diehard. What's amazing, what makes me proud, is that this kid was literally a kid, like a little boy, listening to this podcast with his dad. And you know how it can be that kids think that the stuff that their parents like is not cool, even when it's super cool. It's like, oh man, this is super cool. And like, listen to this kid, and the kids are like, I hate it because you like it. But this show is cool enough that this kid actually hung tough with it. And here he now is hockey man. He's in his early 20s. He's got his own place. He's been playing the league every year, and he finally breaks through and is now immortal and on the trophy forever. And to me, that says something about this show, in spite of Gio, that people can listen and like, and it transcends generations, and it transcends all of that stuff, that the people who get it really get it. To me, it's about that, and I'm proud of it. And he got the job done, man. He held them all off. But I've been teasing the results now for 20 minutes. Here we go. The weekly win, the only negative. The only negative to the whole thing, just the kind of put the chigger in the woodpile, if you will. Team English wins the week. Mike English is out there. What's up, Mike? You had to get one win in this week, didn't you? 351.
No way.
He got a win in. No, good for Mike English, man. Mike English is a good old boy, never meaning no harm, laughing it up, having a good time. And what can you say about that? Mike English gets in. Final race of the season. Team English getting the win. 351. Chicken Pit Special, 332, second race guitar. Third race guitar, he's got something going on. I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. He's one of our listeners. 326, Rich and Saugus. Good job, Rich. 324, final race, got up there, just came up a little bit short. Tied for fourth with Dirt 99, 324. Car 24, Fan, 316. Double O dead on, 315. Ray Indy, 313. Eighth, Fleetree, 312. And Team 12, former champ Mike, good job, 311. Those points was Team English with 351. Biggest gainer was Double O dead on, up five positions with the 315. Biggest loser is Driving Hard, only 58 points down, nine. This is what everybody cares about. The season-long 36-race championship run, that is the WFO Radio Fantasy League, which, brand-new listeners, you guys are welcome to join next year. You could try again. You're probably not going to win two or three seasons into it, at least, because it takes a whole lot of practice and a whole lot of effort to be the guy that does this. But by two...
And a little bit of luck.
A lot of luck. By 2 points... Hockey Kid wins it.
By 2 points in the closest championship ever. Don't discount the little things. 2 points.
2 points.
The closest championship in the history of the multi-year WFO Fantasy League.
This thing's been going on since 2004. And this
Incredible.
Is the closest finished ever that we can remember. 1,155 points for Hockey Kid. One win, seven top fives, 10 top tens. And that's how he got the job done. He beats Motorhead 55, who has 10,153 points. Just 2 points behind, but here's the stat that's got to just be annoying. Four wins on the season. Four wins. For Motorhead 55, five top fives, eight top tens, the four wins, but he just wasn't as consistent as Hockey Kid. Hockey Kid got the job done. Hockey Kid's name is Andrew, by the way, if you're wondering. I'm not going to say his last name in case he doesn't want that out there.
Drew.
Andrew got it done by 2 points. Now, first thing I got to say, hey, Motorhead 55, great season, strong season, came up short. Totally heartbreaking. It won't be long till we're given the codes for the 2021 version of this deal. We've seen in the past people who come up short come back and win it the next year. A lot of people have done it, except for Gio. He has never done it, although he has come in close many, many times. Motorhead 55, second, 2 points back. Third place, Elephant Racers. Our great friend, Elephant Racers, all year long. Diehard listener, goes back to the XM days, been with us all the time, comes down, sees the race with us.
Man.
20 points out of the lead. Great run. Great season. Just came up short to a WFO lifer, like Hockey Kid, who has literally spent half of his life listening to the podcast. It's just one of those years. Fourth place, Rich in Saugus, 1,117 points, 38 points out of the lead. Rich, 2 wins, 8 top 5s, 11 top 10s. Great season. They didn't give Dan's wins top 5s. 1 win, 4 top 5s, 7 top 10s. And then Rich and Saugus, 2 wins, 8 top 5s, 11 top 10s. Rounding out the top 5, Josh, Royal Flush Racing, down one position, 60 points out, 1,095 points. We had 9 people finishing over 10,000 points. It's not quite the stat it used to be back in the day because we've got stage points now, but it's still very impressive. And Royal Flush Racing Josh has been with us for a long, long time, and he is known for, you know, some would say a horrible choke years and years ago, and he was winning as Royal Flush Racing, and then he revealed to the world that he was Royal Flush Racing, and he has a great season. Josh, congratulations. Great season. Fifth place is not terrible. 60 points out, 1 win, only 2 top 5s, and 9 top 10s. So if you really look at the numbers, you were kind of outclassed by the rest of the field's consistency, but you did have some big races. And now I'm going to
get out of here, Josh. If you ain't first, you're last.
Oh, man. If you get first, you're last. You can't hit him with
sorry.
That.
Sorry. That's it.
It's got to be brutal, though, man.
Look, man, I came in like fourth, third, and second, like in 3 consecutive years. So I don't want to hear it. All right. That's it.
You didn't put in the work, though.
That's it.
You just wing it. Sixth place, Smothered and Covered, past champion. Seventh place, Dirty Hippies, the only 4-time Fantasy League champion. The only multiple-time Fantasy League champion. He's 4 times. Eighth, Beer Eater Racing, 81. Good job. Ninth, the Chicken Pit Special. 10th, grabbing the top 10 position once again, Giovanni in Miami.
Woo!
Good job, Gio.
That's right, baby.
Good job.
That's right.
181
there you go.
Points out of the lead. That's really tremendous.
And this was a difficult season, I got to say. With all the surrounding noise and things going on around here.
The Rona.
And the Rona, fighting off the, you know, the infectious diseases and wearing masks and, you know, running out of Lysol and having to do whatever you got to do to stay safe and all this stuff down here with hurricanes and viruses and who the hell knows what. It's been one of the toughest years, and to come back and finish in the top 10, I got to say, I want to thank all my sponsors, like Marvin at Rodax and all the other people that I don't know as well, but thank you, Sam Tech. And who else do I got to thank, Joe?
Santacor sanitizer.
Santacor with the new wipes, especially in this, you know, virus era.
Yes.
Where everyone needs to keep their hands clean constantly, whether you're using sanitizer,
SantacorUSA.com,
or liquid, or these wipes that Joe has provided Santacor. I think that every business should have these. Like, remember those handy wipes when you go to
a
restaurant?
Wipe. It's not
no,
a wipe.
Sorry, let me rephrase that. Every restaurant should definitely have these. Like, when you go to the restaurant, so you have those handy wipes that they clean your hands.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get greasy when you're eating, like, fried chicken or other stuff that's not really
just
good for
like
you.
That, except without the wipe part. It's just
right,
a packet.
Right, but it's a Santacor.
It's a packet.
It works, and it's awesome. And every restaurant should have these.
Yes.
It really should.
It's like a wipe without the wipe in it. It's just a packet of sanitizer, folks. SantacorUSA.com and Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Samtech.edu, Marvin Rodak, Frank Hawley, CIP1.com, all helping out with Geo's championship top 10 in fantasy NASCAR. All right, I'm going to blow through everybody else's scores. Is everybody ready? Here we go. 11, Bad Brad. 12th, Racing 5032. 13th, Double O Dead On, up 5. Good job. 14th, Garrett Senkow. Good first season, Gareth. Way to go. 15th, Highline Real Fine. 16th, Keen Racing. 17th, El Jefe, who is now a Patreon. Welcome aboard, El Jefe. 18th, Bug Barn. Not so good, Bobby. You slipping back, brother. First year, you did great. And then the second year, it's like, not so great. 19th, past champion Los Jincones. Down 2, only 19th.
20th. Oh, no. What happened, Lo?
No good. No bueno.
Yeah, you know, his name is on the trophy.
That's it. He's had a letdown.
Where's that belt? Where's that championship belt that Lowe had made?
Lowe had the championship belt, and I'm under the impression he sent it to Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, who will now send it to Hockey Kid if things are working out as they are supposed to. Which they may not, Hockey Kids. I don't expect it. But don't worry.
I'm going to text Lowe right now.
I've got some good things planned. Let Lowe hear about it on the show. You know, it's exciting when you hear, like, oh, my God, the show is about me. Oh, no, I have things I have to do for
Lowe, in the space-time continuum, I'm not going to text you, but consider yourself texted at this moment.
Yes, exactly. Just tell him, voice to text. He's hearing it now, as you say. Lowe Chacon's 19th, not great. Southern Racer X, 20th. That's good. Mr. Fantasy
she
NASCAR.
Beat you.
Well, Southern Racer X is
Dave.
Obviously
they both
Stubo is who I'm racing. Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, 21st. Not the best year after a championship, but certainly there have been worse. So thank you, Chad Robb, Mr. Fantasy NASCAR. And he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. This year was not his year. 319 out of the league. Ray Indy. Ooh, look at that. Ray Indy, 22nd, 23rd. Barbecue Bob, 332. Out of the lead. Okay, they're tied. They're tied. But
tie.
See, one says 22, one says 23, so it threw me off. I got confused.
Yeah, it's just, you know, typo.
Team 12, 24th. Youper 1, 25th. Got a lot of champions, man. A lot of champions. Sacramento Racing fan, Kevin Luttrell, 26th. Fat Tire, 22, 27.
Fat Tire. I heard you mentioning Fat Tire, and it had nothing to do with the beer that I'm drinking or Joey Logano.
Patrick the Webmaster, 28th. Good job, Pat. You were doing much better early in the season. Kind of slid back, but I get it. Car 24 fan, 29th. Stubo, 30th. Way to go, Stubo. Let me give Stubo one of these for beating me. I was defeated. No, I was.
30th.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Pump and circumstance.
I called out Stubo. I said I was aiming to take her down, and she rallied to beat me. And I was defeated. When you lose, you got to own it. And she took me down. So, Stubo, congratulations. Excellent run. And FYI, you and Dave, you know, I was this week, I went to buy some VP race fuel at my Southeast VP race fuel dealer. And I was thinking about you guys. And I got 9 gallons of C12. And so, it's the first time I've had VP in a while. And I was thinking about you guys. Kind of cool. 31, EZE. 009, 32, WFO Joe. I finished 32nd, lost 3 positions in the final race, and that's the 3 positions that I was able to fall behind Stubo and just not have a Cole Custer, man. Oh, well. Craig and Newhall, 33rd. Jambalaya J, 34th. Day Racing, 21, 35th. Fleetree, 36th. Team English, 37th. Good job, Team English. Coming up 4 positions. Aviator Racing, 38th. Willie B Racing, 39th. Rusty Racing, 40th. Miller Man 2 Brian. What's up, Miller Man? 41st. Cervix Splitter, everybody's favorite name for the season, 42nd. Bulls Wool, 43rd. Race Guitar, 44th. 45th. Driving Hard, 46th. El Flaco, 47th. Gary. Spider Monkey Racing, down 3. Not good. Gary Corbett losing interest in the fantasy. He's doing a real good job with the driving, though, the sim driving. A good friend of mine reached out to me today and asked me why I'm not into the sim driving, the iRacing. And I thought of Gary. Like, Gary, what do I need, Gary? Maybe I need to do it. It was positioned to me that it would be good for my career to do some iRacing. Now, always, I have looked at it as it would be a detriment to my career because that would be time taken away from editing podcasts like Hidden Horsepower for Total Seal, where Judd Massengill is the guest this week, and it's an incredible episode. And you will learn how he met his wife, and the story is so amazing. Linda Massengill. Like, I want to tell you that story, but I really want you to listen to it, so go check it out. But apparently, iRacing would actually be very good for my career. And people are recommending that I do it. So I want to know from Gary, what are the minimum stuff, Gary, that I can get on there and not make a fool of myself? Computer speed, that kind of stuff. Let me know. 48th, Young Money, Northwest Nitro Fanatics. That's Craig in Seattle. JJ Husker fan is 49th. 50th, Dirt 99. 51st, Team Gray. Way to go, Team Gray. I'm proud of Team Gray for not giving up. He finished 2nd in his draft. Dirt 99 jumps 2 positions at the end and passed him. But, he, you know, of the people that were 1,200 or more back, he's 2nd. So good job. Team Gray, he passed a bunch of positions in the end. He kept going. That's what you need. No quit. Never quit. Hockey Dad, 52nd. Horrific job by Hockey Dad. Thank God for Hockey Kid. That's it. This is the way of the world. It's the sunrise. It's the sunset. You know, the one is becoming older and slower and bad judgment, and the young one is coming
in strong.
Look, you
have to tell me. I watch all those National Geographic shows. I've seen the young lions.
It's the circle of life.
The older lion.
Circle of life, Hockey Dad. That's it. That's you got it, a chance, man. Next time, you know, to rally back.
You live young, live hard, you know. Otherwise, you get old and leave an ugly corpse.
Right, right. Low Blinker Flute, 53rd. I Can See Her Almirola's, 54th. Dirt Girl, 55th. Dirt Girl 2, 56th. Moonchild, 57th. Blurple Hog Fan, 58th. 59th Sith Racing. Derail 100 is 60th. Eastbound and Down, 61st. Heavy Loner, 62nd. New Hampshire Bucknut, 442, 63rd. Noodles Racing, Tommy Noodles, who delivered a little negative news to me earlier this day, 64th. Real Muffler Bearing, 65th. A26 guy, that's Marvin, 66th. Vlad the Inhaler, who was in the league for like a minute, 67th. Papa Gator, 68th. Misshift Bent Valve, 69th. Tom Inc., Logan Mania, Little Low, TS6690, Drag Racer 64, M. Williams 71-161, and Hogbass 007 round out the field as people who quit a long time ago. And there it is, the 2020 WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR season. And Hockey Kid, for your championship, you receive your name on the trophy for all eternity, or as long as I keep the trophy. And the belt that Lowe is arranging right now, whatever happened to that thing, that belt, where is it? Lost in the, probably lost.
Where's the belt, Lowe? Where's the belt?
Lost in the mail somewhere along the line. And I've got something else that I don't want to announce what it is in case I don't decide to do it, but something else maybe. And, of course, you get to be on the show.
Or I've heard about it. Can I drop a hint?
Yeah, drop a hint.
It's got something to do with getting a trophy, an individual trophy for winning each year.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it does. It has something to do with getting an individual trophy, but I got to see.
Now, we're definitely not setting that big 100-pound.
85 pounds, no.
Time work of art from the great metal work artist Tom Patsis.
Wow. And you pulled Patsis that one out. I'm surprised you got that one.
Cold hard art.
All right. And I feel like we have paid tribute to the fantasy champions. And now I want to take a hard right veer to something.
Can we talk about your viral video again?
Not yet. I got to talk about Scotty, man. Scott Adams.
Oh, my goodness. Scotty. Oh, crap. Scotty. Hope he's all right.
He is all right. But he's hurt. He's hurt. Okay. So when we're doing the XM show, 2004 to 2009, we made a lot of great friends. Tommy Noodles, of course, is one of those great friends. Rich York is one of those great friends. A lot of great friends. Patrick, the webmaster, one of those great friends. You know, Hockey Dad, Hockey Kid, just everyone. Elephant Racers. We have so many, like Ginny and Chaz, who are still married. They got married. They met on the show. They met as callers on the show. And they are still married, and I follow them on social media. And anyway, Scotty was one of my loyal, like, he'd call in. And there are some callers when you're doing talk radio, when you call in, they are annoying and aggravating, and you are annoyed when they call. That's Restrictor Plate. Restrictor Plate was that guy. And by the way, we became great friends. And he's not out there right now, but we became great friends. Right? Restrictor Plate. Remember when he found the podcast again and he came back? Now he's busy.
Yes.
He works on,
and he was great after that.
He works on Top Fuel cars, but we're friends. You know, we became friends. Like if he calls me and he's on the side of the road, there's a good chance I'm calling AAA for him and sending him over there. You think I was going to go over there? Come on. This is good. No, I become friends. Well, Scotty was always one of those guys that was a good guy and still is. He's still alive.
We met him at the Gators.
Came to the Gator Nationals. He's United States Marine, hung with my dad. We had a great time. Lives in Texas. Well, I don't know any of the details other than was out on his motorcycle. He loves Harleys. He's a motorcycle guy. Trucker, over-the-road trucker, motorcycle guy, Marine. Loves life, loves everything, good man, and had an accident. I know none of the details. He ended up in surgery. He's back out of surgery. Tommy spoke with him on the phone. That's all I got. But Tommy said, you know, said hello on our behalf and all. And, you know, Scotty, if you're out there, brother, sorry that happened. And I'm glad you're still with us. As Tom,
we wish you well, brother.
And we wish you well. And Tom said it. He goes, man, he's still with us. And Tom stressed to me, like, you know, he and I have become like brothers. And that's great. That's great. Like, we came out of that show with a lot of really good relationships, and we want to keep them going. And, you know, just because you don't talk to someone, like, you know, look what I'm holding on to right now. Like, it's in my hand right now. You don't see what this is, but because you can't see it, but it's one of those. Well, we can see each other, but you can't read the word.
Yeah, no,
on
I
it.
See. Yeah, you're holding
one of those rubber bands.
I that's not what I thought. You know, I thought of the Mickey Mouse.
Oh yeah. Eisner.
Yeah. No, Remus.
Remus. So in.
Yeah. No, the other hand.
Your other hand, boss. So when people get sick or have trouble, they make these little rubber bands that go around your wrist. And you've seen them, the Lagana Strong ones. And so I've been collecting them. And, you know, what do you do with them, right? You're going to wear them after you know. If you know a lot of people, you're going to have 50 of these things on your wrist. But this one is for Bob Kuhar from Drink Hard Racing. Bob Kuhar, who died last year. And it's like, oh. And I got Kyle Seiple's one, which Kyle is, you know, feeling better. And Dominic. And it's just like, man, it's too much tragedy in the world. Like, you get to know people and you know these wonderful people and they're great. And, you know, you don't hang out with them every day, but you know them and you know of them and you know they're living their lives to their best. And you love the fact that they're doing that. And to see Scotty and him have an issue, that's a real bummer. I'm glad he's okay. And we'll pick it back up after that. Tomorrow, 245th birthday of the United States Marine Corps.
Presenting the 945th Dream Hour program, Music for the Shut-Ins.
245 years. Happy birthday, Marines. Happy birthday, Dad. Happy birthday, Scotty. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you continue to do. And there's one thing I know. No matter how worried or sketchy things may seem out there in the world, that we have got thousands upon thousands of United States Marines that will always stand up and do the right thing for the United States of America if they are ever called upon. Thank you. There you go. And then the next day is Veterans Day. That actually sounded kind of good. The fellow put on my 1940s announcer voice. And then Veterans Day. So thank you, veterans. Another layer to it. Those of you who have served our great nation, thank you very much. We really appreciate what you've done here on WFO. Race Guitar. Race Guitar has been riding miles and miles and miles on his bike every week. He's trying to get to 1,000 miles before the winter comes. And he puts out there on the Twitter machine, I don't know if I can make it, guys. I don't even try to ride these damn bikes, and I don't know if I can make it.
No, I don't know if he's thinking of that. He was just wondering if he's going to make it before the snow comes.
No, man, that's not how it came across to me. Here it is.
I saw it as, you know, but by the way, I have no idea if the snow's coming tomorrow, next week, or, you know, like, or like down here that it never comes.
Right. If you lived in Florida, you'd make it. Will he?
You know, and I have no doubt he would make it if he lived down here with us, but he lives in Canada. It could be snowing like right now.
Here's the WFO question. I'm at 827 miles since late June on the bike. Can I make it to 1,000 miles before the snow is too much? Too much. No snow yet, and I average 65 miles a week, says Lit and Loud, a.k.a. Race Guitar. And that's directed at us. And I'm going to say the answer is no. You can't make
it. So the simple math is he's got to go 2 to 3 weeks. And where his geographical location, to me, tells me that he doesn't stand a chance in hell of making it till Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from, you know, this Thursday. And so I don't see how he's going to make it riding that bike for two more weeks without any snowfall where he's located.
You can do it. You can do it.
I think not unless he's going to start riding, you know, more every day and riding instead of driving a truck.
Well, I think that the reason that he put this out there was not because he actually had a question about it. That's not how this stuff works. Okay, what it is he wanted us to blow this into a much larger thing than it actually is. And now
he needed inspiration.
That's exactly correct, sir. What is that noise? The entire
there was a helicopter outside of
my gosh. The boys in the hood, the spotlight's coming in. The
No, it was more like commando. I can smell them coming.
The this is motivation for Lit and Loud. We want the entire WFO universe to get on there and give him a little motivation. He can do it, but 65 miles a week is not enough. You need to do more. You need to step up. You need to knock out. How many total miles does he have to go?
170. 172, 73 in that neighborhood.
If he knocks out 100 miles this week, then next week he's got the 72 and he's done. You've done it.
Right, but he was doing 65, so you want him to increase by,
15 miles. He can do that.
Well, no, from 65 to 100 is 35 miles more. That's 50% more.
Oh, I thought that's I was thinking 80. Yeah, exactly. Race Qatar, get out there and do it, man. You got to document this. This is the Race Qatar quest.
Just do it, man. Just do it.
Just get out there and do it. Stop.
Hey, man,
around.
If I could jog those 2 miles, like, you could do this.
Yeah, Gio, like, he did it. He did the 2 miles. Oh, wait, he didn't do the 2 miles. He never even tried the 2 miles because there's no chance of him doing the 2 miles because he's not that athletic, even till right now. Could you walk 2 miles? Sure. Could you run 2 miles? No. And
in 30 minutes, I could.
What was the time that I said?
Well, I don't know. I've already figured out that. It was more of the nonstop.
Yeah, you've been training. You've been training. Race Qatar.
I can make
good luck.
It, but I don't know that I can go nonstop for 2 miles. I think I have to, slow, fast walk for a while.
Good luck, Race Qatar, a.k.a. Lit and Loud on Twitter. I've just retweeted the tweet. You can go to the WFO feed and find his picture of, this blades of grass and the bike, and he's looking tough, and he's got a star on his glove. It's like, is he bicyclist or is he Freddie Mercury? I don't even know, but he's on there. Good job, Race Qatar. All right, let's get into the Jimmy Johnson final race. You saw the packages. You saw the Jimmy stuff, the Jimmy love. So let's just go straight to Giovanni. Jimmy Johnson, greatest of all time?
Sure, why not? 7-time champion, won in everything that they threw at him. All the different cars, all the different kinds of championships. They had the car of tomorrow, the car of today, the car of yesterday. And
the car of yesterday.
Right, and he won a championship in all of them. He won 5 in a row, unprecedented.
Yep.
And, you can argue or not, look. Earnhardt was amazing, and Petty won in that era where, they were racing every day and the numbers a little bit inflated, But Jimmy not only won 5 in a row and 7 total, he won in an era when you can argue that it was the more guys have a chance to win a race in this day and age than way back when anybody in any other time in historically speaking, throughout NASCAR eras.
Yeah, people are not going to like that because
I can't. You know what I mean? Am I expressing what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Like, on any given Sunday, 10 to 15 guys can actually win a race now. When back in the day, it was no more than a couple of guys, maybe a handful.
Well, who did he beat on a regular basis? Who did he, whoop up on a regular basis? Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin. Like, all the guys that are battling right now were just kind of fodder out there. Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch. They got their butts handed to them by Jimmy Johnson for 5 straight years. And as much as I love Dale Earnhardt and I feel like Dale could have gotten his 8th championship in 2001 and a couple of more victories. And really, Earnhardt was great. And I think Earnhardt is still probably... I like to call Earnhardt the greatest ever because ultimately it's a matter of just personal preference, and I'm not going to change that preference. But more cars can win when Jimmy's running. More drivers can win when Jimmy's running. It's just a different kind of sport when Jimmy is running. Jimmy's an athlete. Like, the transition from guy who has a beer, who goes, the crew members are wearing jeans. The crew guys are wearing jeans. When the crew guys are wearing jeans.
Dude, the crew guys are now former college football players, top-notch athletes. Jimmy himself is a triathlete, and there's no doubt that the guy is an athlete.
Right, like the thing about Jeff Gordon's championships, when he was great, but other teams had guys who were wearing jeans as their pit crews, and Gordon had athletes, and that was Ray Evernham's secret weapon. Like, how are they doing, you know, 14-second pit stops, right? Oh, well, because those guys are former collegiate athletes, and they're practicing this. Yeah, they're practicing.
But to be fair, they revolutionized the sport.
By the time Jimmy got there, everybody had it. And by the time Jimmy got there, everyone's like, oh, we got to do that? Okay. And they all did it, and they, you know, videotape. Like, let's practice this. Practice pit stops. What do we need to do that? There's only five per race. Yeah, right. Who'd have thunk it? It's you can make a very strong argument for Jimmie Johnson being the greatest of all time. The five championships in a row. What? Five in a row. How do you do that? Five in a row. Well, you know, the countdown or the chase or whatever that thing is. Well, yeah, that's true. But someone else could have won it. How come nobody else won it? How come it was always Jimmy? And the answer is probably he's probably the greatest of all time. Probably. And what can you say about that? Now he's going off to do IndyCar. He's going to do sports car. Like, what if he gets an IndyCar win? What if Jimmy, which do you expect him to get an IndyCar win? I don't.
I don't expect him to, but I wouldn't be shocked if he does either.
Okay. If Jimmy Johnson goes over there and somehow out battles Scott Dixon for a win on a road course somewhere, then this guy's insane. He's one of the greatest of all times, and if not the greatest of all time, and certainly in the conversation. The very short list of maybe this guy is the greatest of all time, depending on who you're talking to, debate. Double J. Good job, Double J. I want to say thank you to Jimmy for all the great entertainment. I really only got to speak with him maybe two or three times. Once at the back of his hauler, right after he was nominated like one of the sexiest men in the world as his career was just starting. Maybe he was a rookie. Maybe it was pre-rookie season.
It was not his rookie year.
It was. I think it was pre-rookie year.
Was it?
Yeah, he was still running in the Busch Series at Homestead. I think he was going to. I don't know. Well, I'll have to go. Well, you can find out whatever year he was named like one of the sexiest people in the world. Whatever year that was, sat with him at the back of the hauler, talked with him and Marty when they did their show on XM. And he was always cool. Remember, Rich York was the producer of that show. People forget that. Rich York was the producer of that show, and he was also the producer of Dale Jr.'s Unrestricted. And so got some really great insights. Remember the golf cart incident?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, the golf cart incident. What a nightmare that was.
You wrote a good little piece. A lot of good pieces have been written in the last couple of days about Jimmy Johnson and NASCAR in general, and Marty wrote a good piece about his friendship with Jimmy, and of course McGee always,
Ryan McGee. We gotta get Ryan on the show.
And by the way, what a sense of humor! I love following Ryan on Twitter because he is kind of funny.
No, Ryan McGee is great, and he's got fantastic insight into the sport and how these guys that we see now are going to be viewed down the road. And I spoke with him. We didn't have him on the show, but I spoke with him a couple of months ago. And obviously, he's doing great. Marty and McGee are on all the time, and they have...
he's doing the college football stuff.
Marty's doing, like, NASCAR with Shannon Spake. And Marty, like, the NASCAR broadcast team have expanded into the regular mainstream stick and ball sports and have done a great job. It's pretty amazing stuff. And we're here, Gio. What the heck is up with that? But I digress.
You're not as good looking as Shannon, Marty, and Ryan.
No. Well, Ryan, definitely not. Marty. But I'm trying to slim down, brother. You know I'm trying to get slim again. I'm going to start the keto again starting tomorrow morning.
Well, Marty, you should see him wearing those slim, like, skinny suits on the college football broadcast.
Yeah, no, I notice. He's kind of got the hipster look going on. The Carolina hipster.
He was at the Clemson game this last weekend.
Yeah, no, they're all excited in Bristol, Tennessee, that they're getting a Hard Rock over there. They're getting a mini guitar hotel. Do you know that?
No. Ah, get out of here.
Yeah, they voted it in. They're making a mini guitar hotel. It's going to be like the bass guitar hotel or something. It's
all right.
Maybe it's a ukulele. But hipster, we're talking about Southern hipsters. No, don't knock it, man. Supposedly, they're very excited in Bristol, Tennessee about their new guitar hotel. It's not going to be like ours, but it's going to be something. All right, viral video. Here's what happened. This is pretty amazing. I would like to bring it up before I reference it. So last night, I was down south at the Giovanni in Miami's house. And I'm watching local news, WSVN7. And I just want to see how much flooding there is, because it was raining nonstop for a long time. A lot of flooding. Lots of flooding. And I wanted to see, like, is my neighborhood underwater? What's the story? All of that. And they have a reporter, and he's standing in front of a video board. And the video board is, showing different images. And he's like, oh, you can see in Broward County, where I live, on Broward Boulevard and Andrews, there's water, and, some cars are trying to drive through the water. And that's what he says. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you moron, you. One of those cars is a Lamborghini. And I think that is newsworthy. And do you really not notice that there's, not only is there a Lamborghini, but the Lamborghini is speeding through the water. And because of the shape of the Lamborghini is like going under the water. It's like the water is pushing the Lamborghini down into the depths. And so I was walking by and I said, I got to do this. So I rewound it and I took a pic. I videoed the screen up close, cut the reporter out, cut everybody out, and just showed the Lamborghini. Tweeted out, bam, Lamborghini or submarine. Saw this on WSVN7, So Full Life, Etta, flood. That's it. Going to stick something on Twitter, see what happens. Within 20 minutes, there were 100 retweets. Within an hour, there were 200 retweets. And as of now, I'm having trouble bringing it up because I'm getting two different numbers. Like, the total retweet number is just under 1,300 retweets of my viral video of a Lamborghini running through 4 feet of water. It's been viewed over 320,000 times in the last 23 hours. 1,319 retweets, 2,308 likes, 145 comments from all kinds of people, like celebrities, Billy Corbin, who did the You documentary. I was telling you guys about him. Like, everybody is in on this. This is it. This is the greatest moment of my life. I've done it. I've accomplished viral video. Check. Now, this is my second viral video. I've got now two. Now, I'm not a one-hit wonder anymore. Now, I've got two viral videos out there in the ether. And you'll be seeing that other one coming up when the PRI show is supposed to be happening in December. I'm sure it'll all come back in everybody's feed. Because it was a car crash right outside PRI with one of the show cars. And I was first on the scene. Popped the video, saw the wreckage, posted it somewhere, forget where, Facebook, I think. And it was shared like 2,000 times. Something like that. Viral video, yeah. And there you go. But who takes a Lamborghini through 4 feet of water? That's really what it is. And that's why it's a hit. First of all, you got someone doing something stupid in a supercar. That's always gold on social media. Supercar, check. So doing something stupid, check. Destroying it, check. And the fact that it's a big natural disaster type flood situation, the Lamborghini handles the flood pretty well. I got to give them credit. I don't know what happened a minute after the video was over, but the Lamborghini went right through there like it was nothing. And maybe he just went home and everything's fine. There is no way water did not get inside the front of that car, the way he's pushing through that water at 20 miles an hour. But pretty amazing. Look, just got another like. That's it. Another like. It's just happening while you see the president tweet. And maybe you don't see the president tweet, but if you follow tweets from these major figures, you can see the numbers change right before your eyes, likes and retweets. You know, it just goes up. This one, this one, this one. And I actually got to experience that with this. It's pretty amazing. WFO Joe, I encourage everybody to go out there and retweet it just to keep the viral madness going. And it's pretty amazing. But then this morning, I get contacted by the Weather Channel. I get contacted by everyone. Do we have the rights to use your tweet? May we please have that? And this is where I did something I think maybe a little stupid. Me and my, you know, goody-two-shoes, do-gooder vein told them, you know, this video was taken off the TV from WSVN 7, Channel 7, and it's not my video. I just tweeted it out because I thought it was cool, but if you're going to use it, you should use their version. Because I felt like that was the right thing to do. Like, sometimes you should do the right thing, and that one felt like the right thing to do in the moment. But now that Weather Channel has gone and found the video and put it out there, I kind of feel like I should have just said, yes, yeah, that'd be cool. Do it. That's my video. Oh, yeah. Oh, I took it off the TV. What? I didn't know. You're muted. You're muted again. You've forgotten how to do the show.
I didn't forget how to do the show. I just wanted to let you have your time. You were talking about your viral video.
But you're muted, and then you commented while you're still muted. That's fine.
Nah, it's just the internet. You saw my mouth moving.
So what about the WSVN 7 Weather Channel deal? Did you send me that?
I think you needed to have just, you know, gone on.
I should have lied.
Said, yeah, go ahead. Use my video.
I should have lied.
And if you would have done it right, you would have just clipped that part at the end where you can see, like, the WSVN flag on the mic.
But I did that on purpose. Like, I wanted to attribute it to the right people. And you're telling me...
No, you did the right thing by attributing it in the tweet that you tweeted it at WSVN. But other than that, like, you know, it's all for a game in this day and age.
I guess it is, but I don't know. That's the old school in me coming out, trying to do the right thing. Nobody does it anymore. It's nobody cares about that kind of stuff. I do want to say to the reporter, I feel like I don't... if anyone missed out on the story, it's WSVN 7. And whose fault is that? You guys had it. You have a Ferrari going through 4 feet of water and you don't even mention it. A Lambo going through 4 feet of water and you don't even mention it. You don't even mention it. You don't say, hey, there's a Lamborghini. Like,
because they didn't really realize it was a Lambo.
Because they did not know what kind of car it was. And that's why knowledge of certain types of cars is very important. All right, let's keep going. This has been going. It's a great show. It's tremendous, but it's got to wrap up soon because Giovanni in Miami, you know, we're just getting used to having him back. We can't have too much.
Yeah, no, and you can't have too much Gio. So if you want, I'll just get going real soon.
No, F1 Turkey. What about that?
Well, F1 is just unbelievable this year. It's running later than ever, but they're making up for races they missed throughout the season. And, yeah. Turkey, Lewis is just going to be padding on to the 91, 92 wins now.
Well, 93, I think.
Well, there's like another three or four races so he can get to like 96, 97 this year. That would be unbelievable.
I agree. Go Lewis.
Yeah, at this point, what else are you going to do?
Right.
You got the best driver and the best car.
I've always said it. I don't like to see the guy who's got the record get beaten. But once the guy gets beaten, then I want to see the record beaten. And I like, for the new guy. Like, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Unless your name is Barry Bonds, which case I was not a guy for that at all. I mean, I'm a Roger Maris guy. The number is still 61. Just saying, folks, number 61. How about somebody break 61 again before we start talking about that nonsense?
Why are you going to yell at Barry? Why not yell at Mark McGwire?
Oh, I'm mad at him, too. Mad at all those guys for ruining it.
McGwire and Scherzer.
Nobody's getting those numbers. They've basically ruined the home run race forever.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm looking the end.
They ruined the whole thing. You know. The year somebody makes a run on 61 and gets it and ties 61, you'll realize the gravity of this blunder, that it's meaningless.
Because, look, man, what was it? Just a handful of years ago, Stanton made a run. He got 59 the year he got the MVP with the Marlins, and then, you know, they traded him the year after.
Yeah.
Now he's Los Yankees. All right, let's get into Sports Collision. We referenced Formula One. Obviously, we have paid tribute to our champions, Hockey Kid, and also Chase Elliott. And we've discussed the most important thing of the week, my viral video. And so...
For our practical purposes, it really is. I mean, you guys should have seen this guy all weekend long. All I know is that he kept going to the phone. He kept sneaking off to the phone. And I was like, what is this man doing? And, I didn't want to really call you out. But at one point, it was like four times within 30 minutes that you just like
Dude, the excitement.
Disappeared to the little area.
You can't understand.
I didn't realize that
you were charging my
charging.
Phone. I was charging right. my phone.
Right.
My battery was dead.
You had to get a recharge because you had been using it and doing this whole virus thing on the phone, spreading the disease on the phone.
I was spreading the disease on the phone. And that I got to tell you, like, there's this Netflix documentary, something about social networks, social dilemma, something like that. Okay, so I haven't seen it. Everyone tells me I need to see it. But once I see it, I'm not going to want to be on social media anymore. And for WFO, for this, people are on social media. I'm staying on social media. So I will watch it. But, they say that the social media companies make the experience like having drugs. And they give you like this blast of the dopamine, which is a drug, and you're like, oh. Well, when the viral video is happening, man, it's like the slot machine is paying out those coins. Ding, 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 ding. You're like, yeah. And the number's going up, and it's going viral, baby. 100, 200, 500, 700, 1,000. Like, woo, viral video. How many followers did I pick up, you might be wondering? Like six. How many people see that viral video and are like, wow, this person is a very interesting person. I think I should follow them on a regular basis. Six. I've been stuck at like 4,000 people forever.
You weren't a content creator. You were just like a guy that stole a video from the TV.
Yeah, I think people hate the content creators too. Rob Wendland, killing it on TikTok, by the way. Rob Wendland he's a very entertaining TikToker. Like, his TikToks are actually very funny. Am I getting TikTok? No freaking. That's the last thing I need in my life. And plus, I still believe that the Chinese government steals all your data. All right, let's shift gears into what is also more good news for the week, a week that is just loaded with good news. The Miami Dolphins and Tua time.
What can you say? It looks like the Dolphins after what? Two and a half decades of futility after Dan Marino.
Yeah, what was it, 1999? When did he retire? 98. He retired in 1998.
Found a coach and possibly a quarterback to, at the very least, you're definitely on the right track compared to, a lot of the other teams we see in the league.
Because of where we were. Like, you got a team. You got a real team here. And listen, what is most important? To be entertained during the game and not feel anguish and sadness and not connect with all the negative of the years past. Like, this is supposed to be fun. And it just hasn't been fun for a long time. It's just anxiety and anguish, and we stink. And you think about all the horrific nightmare teams like the Aints.
You just want a chance to win the games.
That's it. That's it. And of course, make a Super Bowl run, because that's what this thing has all been about. But when you lose it all, like, oh, man, we want a Super Bowl run, and now you're a team that can't do anything at all, then suddenly you just want to get back to being a competitive team again. And that's where we are. They've won four in a row. Tua looks serviceable. Is he going to be the greatest of all time? Is he going to be better than that kid Herbert? Like, who knows? But he's got some tools. He's got some excitement. He can make some plays. He won the game. They went on the road. They beat the Cardinals. That's it. That's all you can ask. And now the Dolphins are what? They're 4-3? Yes. 5-3. 4-3.
They won four in a row now.
So they're 5-3. It's insane. It's insanity. It's probably too good. They're probably screwing themselves by being a little too good this first year. But that's it. Now you got to win.
You know, don't forget, they have that number one pick from the Houston team that they got for trading the offensive lineman last year. And so Houston, you didn't expect them to. They're sucking pretty bad this year, too.
Right.
Where they're only 2-6. And so as it stands right now with that Houston pick, the Dolphins are going to be picking – are going to have a very good pick. The Dolphins are 5-3.
5-3. There it is, 5-3. No, it's incredible. And the competitive spirit is something that you can't deliberately squash out. Like when it's a junky team, you just let them be junky and they stink, that's fine. But when the team wants to play and want to win and they want to go compete, you got to let them go, man. You got to let that dog hunt. And that's what's happening right now. These guys are competing. The defense is playing. It's been great to watch. They're fun. How many games have they scored 30 or more? Like, they scored 30 or more this season, more than than I can remember.
Forever. I mean, their point differential is +61. That's unbelievable. It's just great. Their defense is keeping them in the games and scoring, getting turnovers, and making it easy for the team.
Returning punts.
Oh my goodness, they had a punt return for a touchdown. We haven't seen that in decades, as anyone who watches the Dolphins.
And any WFO listener knows that I have been beating the drum on this bandwagon. Like, I don't know, man. I think I'm the reason. I think, and the real deal is that I have been cheerleading this team to success now for several years, guiding them through the process.
Look, I'll give you, are the epitome of the Dolphin fan. Yeah. And you should get some credit. I don't want to, you know, like, make it seem like you're over there picking the players.
Not as much as Flores, of course, but definitely some sort of credit. This is me. All right, so on that note, let's go back to where this all started. We did promise people the bad beat story. So it is the year 2003. And it's really like 2002, 2003, switching. And I am, younger Joe, and I'm getting married. And I'm going out to Las Vegas, Nevada to get married. And me and my, fiancé at the time, we decided that we had way too many friends. Too many friends to have a South Florida wedding. It would be one of those crazy. The MTV show, My $50 Million Wedding, was popular. And I'm not going to be that guy. Like, I ain't the one to have a $50 million wedding because it's just crazy. And so we both agreed and we said, let's do something nice in Vegas and we'll find out who our real friends are. We'll invite everybody and we'll find out who our real friends are. Right. We'll make a nice list and people will be kind and they'll look at us and they'll be like, oh, Vegas, yeah, that's so cool, but I can't make it. And the herd will be called on its own. And they didn't realize we were doing that, but we realized we were doing that. So a nice group of about 35 of my, real friends showed up. And I had real friends that didn't show up, but, they couldn't go for one reason or another or didn't want to go. But my, bestest pals all showed up. Giovanni and Mrs. Giovanni, the King of Nothing, Sports Radio Vlad. They were all there. Everybody was
Hank.
There. Hank Goldberg.
The Hammer.
Right. Hank Goldberg was there. He was the celebrity thrown into the mix just to keep it a little bit radio industry going. It was super fun. Part of the deal was we were, what did we get? When was the game? The Dolphins were in the playoffs.
It was Sunday morning. It was the last game of the season. I want to say it was December, end of December.
Was it before I got married? It was before I got married, right? Because I got married on...
It was the weekend we got there. You got married...
On the 30th. I got married on the 3rd, December 30th. We were going to be in Vegas for New Year's Eve. That was the big thing. We're staying at the Bellagio. We're getting married at the Bellagio in the day before New Year's Eve. And then we're going to have New Year's Eve night, and it was going to be amazing. And I spent... it was incredible. But part of this extravaganza, was Dolphins playoff football.
It was the last game of the year against the Patriots.
Against the Patriots.
And it was the year that Ricky Williams ran for like 1,800 yards. He had his best year ever.
Was it a playoff game?
No, it was the last game of the season.
December 30th? That's playoff time.
No, it's not. Trust me. It was the last game of the season.
All right, I'll trust you.
It just, I don't want to. It was just one of those sad things.
We're
where...
up by 11. Okay, so we all load up. We're all very emotional. We're very positive. We got Ricky. Ricky Williams is running. He's having a career year. He's running all over 1,800 yards, killing it. We're Dolphin fans. We're feeling it. We're excited. We're in Vegas. We're in the sports book at the Bellagio. I'm getting married. It's New Year's Eve. We have got the energy going. We load up on this game, people. We load up on this game. Everybody. My boy Billy Slash is there. Everybody's there. Every degenerate gambler that I know in my life is there. We're going all in on this game, people. We're up by...
And we're all there.
We're up by 11 in the fourth quarter with, like, what, 5 minutes to go? Something crazy.
And that's when the bottom fell out.
So here's what happens.
When the game is on the line.
Well, okay. So what happened was, I think we scored. We got a field goal to go up 11. I don't know what it was, but Lindo, my high school classmate, Lindo, who I sat next to in chemistry class, and we colluded on the answers for tests. Lindo Mari sat next to me. He's on the field. He's got to kick it off up by 11. Kicks it off, kicks it out of bounds. So they get the ball on, like, the 45 or something.
40, I think.
The 40. Tom Brady, right? Brady.
Was that Brady in 2000? No. Yeah,
2003,
yeah.
It's Brady.
Tom Brady back in Vegas.
Right down the field scores. Okay. So now we get the ball back. Get it deep in our own territory. But we got Ricky. We're going to run, Ricky, run. That's the year. Everybody, run, Ricky, run. There's even a song. We could probably find it. Run, Ricky, run. People were all in on Ricky. Run, Ricky. Okay, we got Ricky. We're going to run Ricky. We're gonna, if nothing else, we're going to run out the clock. At halftime, man, we loaded up again. Before the game, we loaded up. Halftime, we're feeling so good, we made halftime wagers. We're inside our own 20, but maybe on the 10-yard line or something.
Oh, my God.
First down, Jay Fiedler, back to pass, incomplete. Second down, pass. Third down, pass. They didn't give the ball to Ricky one time. We ran like 9 seconds off the clock in three downs.
We ran three straight times and kicked the ball back to the Patriots with like a minute left.
And they score and they win the game and we lose. There
no, they kicked the field goal and tied the game with, remember, Vinatieri. Then it went to overtime.
Oh, my God. See, I'm getting anxiety. Yes, even remember, like, I blocked out. I should have known the whole thing was in trouble when that happened. The whole thing.
No, you had 11 points, and I feel like it was, you're right, about 4 or 5 minutes left in the game when Lindo kicks the field goal. It looked like we were going to go in there and just get the game, you know, the game-clinching touchdown. But instead, you kick a field goal, and still, you're up by 11, you would think, at that point. You know, that's a pretty good lead. But no, the Pats march down. Brady, you know, does his magic and ends up throwing a touchdown pass to God knows who knows at that time. It's probably like Troy Brown or one of those like guys that Brady would throw to that had no business even being in the game or playing football.
You know, someday I might want to go back and watch that again. I'm not ready yet, though. And it's just a bad beat story. And it, watching.
But by the way, then they gave him a 2-point conversion because they were down by 8. So then they made it to make it a 3-point game. And then this was all with like just over 2 minutes to go.
To see.
And then they kicked the ball back to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are like at the 10-yard line. I don't even remember. I think there was a penalty on the kickoff, and they ended up getting the ball back at the 10-yard line. And they threw the ball 3 straight times. It took 0 time off the clock, and it was just like at that point we all just left. I think we ended up finishing watching. We didn't finish watching the sports book. Like, we knew it was over.
To see the response, for those of you that are not into gambling at all, degenerate gamblers, you're probably very wise for not doing so. But it is really a great experience that I had to feel this sensation. Horrible. Cost me a lot of money. Like, how much money, by the way? You know, like, I don't know. Like, $400 or $500 for me.
Yeah, it was a couple of flat tires.
Yeah,
for some of us. But nonetheless, I mean, we're not whales or anything.
No,
but there was a bunch of hundos out on those tables. Like, we were all playing black chips.
We decided for once in our life to, like, really lean into this deal and to watch the emotions.
We were in Vegas, and it was a festive, you know, the holidays. You know, we had just come back from the Christmas, and it was right before New Year's and your wedding.
What was that? Celebration.
A happy moment.
Happiest moment in the world. This is incredible.
You know,
and I remember seeing Slash
a couple throw of down. Our friends the drunk cabs the night before that they didn't have to, like, pay off a bunch of cab drivers for a couple of our drunken
friends. That was the night after. That was the night of the wedding. We went out, bachelor parties.
Right,
oh, yeah, it was tremendous. It was great. It was one of the greatest things ever still. But I remember seeing Slash throw his tickets down. I remember him just throw them down and walk out. And I'm like,
the horse track, and you know you can't win anymore. You just rip the tickets in half and throw them up in the air.
And the feeling of just, this is going wrong. It's all going wrong. It just rolled over us. And that was it. And we lost. And that's why Giovanni almost got divorced, because his Mrs. Giovanni doesn't care about any of that stuff. She wants to continue to have a good time in Vegas and doesn't understand why did everything just turn to crap? What just happened? It's the Dolphins' fault. It's the Dolphins' fault. It's the Dolphins' fault. And the last 20 years, she's...
Yes. No, there's something to that. And it was just one of those where I don't really care what happened. I'm here to have fun. We're going to have fun or else.
Or else. And we did have fun. And the wedding was incredible.
I quit my Dolphin fandom that day.
And now you're trying to get back in. And we'll let you back in.
I don't know if I'm trying to get back in, but I will at least have, you know, revel in it and be like, wow, this is great to see again after, like, it seems like the vast majority of my life.
When the Dolphins are in a run, whenever the run is happening, like, it's a legit run. Like, this year is not a legit run. This is just, like, surprising, decent play. They could still lose a lot of games, but it's been surprising and fun to watch. But when, two seasons from now, when they're in the middle of their run and they've got a legit shot, and if they actually start to play well and go on a run and they're going, a lot of people are going to get into it, and it's going to be fun. And when that happens, you'll be welcome in on the thing. I'm not going to neglect you. Just like the Gray, he's against it right now. He's laughing. But when they go to the championship game, or if, God forbid, they go to the Super Bowl and this town goes crazy, everybody's
in on
the
bandwagon. It's always good for the home team to do
yes,
well.
Of course.
But let's not forget, you know, this is Sports Collision. And yesterday, as much as this person had not been, you know, we're halfway through the season, and I got to give, Flores definitely deserves Coach of the Year right now.
Absolutely.
And the Dolphins are the, you know, I would say the one of the surprises of the year. But right now, my MVP at the halfway point has got to be Patrick Mahomes, 25 touchdowns, one interception. Yesterday, again, showing us just what a phenomenal athlete he is. I think I had that game on predominantly at that 1 o'clock window, and unbelievable. This guy makes about half a dozen throws a game that just makes you really, it just leaves you going, wow, like, unbelievable. He just, that whole three quarter arm back behind his back.
Yeah, slinging it.
Oh, look.
He's slinging it.
He's just unbelievable, and he is spectacular. Earlier, I had Russell Wilson, and he's had a couple of bad weeks in a row, but he's definitely, Russell Wilson is definitely my number two, and I would say Aaron Rodgers is number three right now. But Patrick Mahomes is just, he's unreal. And the Dolphins, as you know, as much as it's happy, you know, it's good to see them progressing, they got a long way to go to be able to.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Because remember, fortunately, he's not in their division. And as we've seen, Tom Brady is no longer here either. And so the trick, you know, the key in the NFL is win your division and beat the teams you got, you know, you got to play twice a year.
Right.
And the Patriots made a living out of doing that for the last 20 years. And let's see, you know, they're not looking so good right now. and everybody, you know, can revel in that, and let's see what happens. But, you know, you still, the road to the Super Bowl still goes through Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
There you go. And anything else other than, you know, Rookie of the Year?
No, we saw the World Series a couple of weeks ago. I know you talked about it, so I wasn't here. The Dodgers won. There's a lot of numerology with, like I just said, the Lakers won the NBA championship. The Dodgers won the World Series. And Chase Elliott won the Cup. And the last time that something to that extent happened was in 1988. The Dodgers won the World Series. That was the last time they won. The Dodgers won the World Series in 88. And Chase's dad, Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, won the Cup championship in 1988.
Wow, that's
for those of you that are a little the numerology. And that same year, the IndyCar championship was won by the 9 car, and it was this year with Scott Dixon again too.
Wow, that's fishy. That's something, man. So let's go back.
2020,
the last time the Dodgers won the World Series, Bill Elliott and Elliott won the NASCAR championship. The Lakers won the NBA championship, and the 9 car won the IndyCar championship?
Yes, Danny Sullivan.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Unbelievable. It's just weird. It's that, you know, the numerology sometimes just happens to fall in line that way. But
well, there's something,
you know, when you see the stars and the moons are aligned with Uranus.
There's something to that. That's the thing. They're, you know, we don't know what it is. We don't know how to explain it. Things happen for a reason. And that's one of those deals when all the numbers come up. And that's why when the Dolphins were having the thing, you could feel it like, no, we're losing. This is it. We're losing. It's happening. It's happening. The cosmic forces are against us. And you could just see like the matrix coming down. Like it said, you saw it. It looked like, was that letters? And they were. It was letters. And the letters said,
no, it was more
you
like brown,
lose.
Redhead. Yeah, I get it.
Mm. All right. Anything else, Sports Collision?
Not really. There's stuff going on, a couple of golf tournaments. The Masters is going on now. It's really weird. You know, this is the COVID season, the COVID year.
Oh, wow.
But the Masters is going to be playing this weekend.
Cool.
Instead of at their normal time. And other than that, like, it feels like there's a sports void because generally the NBA would be kicking off, although we don't normally pay attention to them until about Christmas time. But college football, there's stuff going on. The Hurricanes played a pretty good game. Clemson, the number one team in the country with their Goldilocks and the long hair. What's his name? Trevor
Lawrence.
He got the COVID and he didn't play this week. And they lost to Notre Dame.
Got the Rona.
Yeah.
Kyle Lewis and Devin Williams, Rookie of the Year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, there you go. Other than that, you know, the NFL is in full swing and we're having fun here. The local team is doing well.
And there you go.
And that'll do it.
There you go. Do want to mention WFO Radio face coverings are available. A lot of people are calling them masks. That's fine. It was great to see Lo wearing his out there at the race. Thank you for doing that. WFOradio.com. Go to the website and click the store, and you can get one for just $10. And I'll throw some WFO Radio stickers in there as well and make it worth your while. It doesn't cost any shipping. It's just $10. You can pay with PayPal. You can pay with a credit card. And it's really easy. Get a WFO Radio face covering. You keep the show going. Also, Patreons. Patreon did not get Monday motivation today because we were in a storm, but they will get Tuesday motivation tomorrow, the special show.
So let me get this straight. You weren't motivated?
I was not motivated to do the Monday motivation today because I was not near the studio, and I was being just swamped by various different rain. And I was really concerned about my viral video going viral of the Lamborghini going underwater.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the real reason.
No, man, I was away from the studio.
You were plotting against Keeman. You should have gotten up and started banging on those pots and pans and the garbage cans as the Monday motivation.
No, I'm not doing that. But definitely get yourself a face covering or join Patreon and become a VIP listener. We really appreciate that. Those of you that are first-time listeners, there's many layers to this show. You can definitely go deeper than even this. This week, Alan Reinhart, Tuesday afternoon, 1 p.m., hopefully. I haven't cleared it with him, but we'll check in how the final Lucas Oil Series race of the 2020 season went down out there in Vegas and start talking to some champions, can talk to some race winners. Hopefully going to get Antron Brown on this week. We got an appointment with Don the Snake Prudhomme, going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, talk about his new book. A lot of great stuff going on. Of course, the champs, Erica, going to be on the show, dialing in when Erica is going to be on. Going to let a little time go by, I think, is always good. To let a little time go by between the championship and the interview, because it sinks in and people get a little philosophical about what they just accomplished. When you talk to them right afterwards, it's kind of like, it hasn't sunk in yet. That's what they always say. And that's not good. It hasn't sunk in yet. Well, you know what? We're going to wait until it sinks in so you can tell us something worthwhile, man. Like Hockey Kid.
Well, not sinking in doesn't do us any good now.
Right.
Does it?
Hockey Kid.
Are we supposed to get some insight if it hasn't sunk in yet?
So bring the insight next week, Hockey Kid. Like, we're giving you a whole week to give us some real...
We're going to let the drunkenness wear off.
Yes.
So that it can sink in.
Some, his or yours?
Both.
Okay. The, you know, bring some A-list stuff, even if you got to make it up, Hockey Kid, okay? Like, man, I've been listening since I was 9. My dad, I remember. I learned something, life lessons from the show, all that. You just pour it on thick, Hockey Kid. And if you're also a new listener, you can write a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. Giovanni, any final thoughts before we get out of here? Good to have you back. You definitely add something to the show.
I'm glad to be back. I know you miss me. The show missed me for sure. I know all the fans of the great Giovanni in Miami were on pins and needles wondering where I was, especially that second week. The first, you know, 1 week is okay without me on the show, you know, it's like nothing going on. But that second week, I felt you struggling through, and I'm glad that I'm back to
that is
to
not
help
true.
You out so that the show could be back to its usual like awesomeness. Because week one was really good.
But week two, I felt like,
holy crap, this guy's not missing me. But week two, you kind of sucked.
You said that, but that's not true. I got a lot of positive feedback about
it. It was still a good show, but it wasn't like
a lot of calls and emails. Well, that was one. See, the thing that everybody
did two a time.
You did not listen. I've carved out a wonderful spot for you on this show, and you do bring definitely an element, you know. But I did get a lot of positive feedback on those shows. Like, man, this is really great stuff. This is what it would be like without Giovanni, huh? Maybe you should do this more often. And I'm like, no.
I don't think a single person said that you should do it more often without me. But
listen,
you know.
People are saying it, Gio. People are saying. Like, it's count calls, emails off the air. A lot of emails off the air, a lot of people saying it. But it doesn't matter because I want you to be a part of it. And I love what we got going on. I like the caustic humor, all that stuff. So, all right, everybody, that's going to do it, Gio. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. I'm glad to be back. We'll see you next week as we go through the off-season madness.
Right. Off-season madness begins. Thank you, Giovanni. There he goes. Giovanni in Miami. Off-season madness, which we are known for. Off-season madness. What does that mean? We don't know. It's the off-season. There's no racing to talk about. We'll be talking about Formula One and Lewis and every race that he wins and what's going to happen at Haas F1 and who they're going to hire for drivers and... I'm sure some chaos will happen. You know, there's no PRI show. We're going to do all our NHRA champions. But here on Ignition, it really changes. It becomes a general interest talk show, for lack of a better term. And we thrive on audience participation. As in, you can go into our WFO group on Facebook and post killer robots attacking people or something technology-wise that you think is interesting that we should talk about. And I scour the group and I wonder what I should talk about. You know, we stay away from all the things that cause people to hate each other. It's kind of a general rule also. Like, stay away from that stuff because who cares? We definitely don't want any of our WFO universe feeling negative towards one another. We want only positivity on this show. I'm trying to carve that out. And you can achieve total positivity by purchasing a WFO Radio face covering at WFOradio.com. And to you, Stubo, and to you, next year, you're going down to the last I grapple with thee. Thanks to SantaCoreUSA.com. Thanks to Total Seal Piston Rings. Thanks to Samtech.edu, Frank Hawley Drag Racing School, Marvin Rodak, my buddy Marvin. What's up, Marvin? Bobby Graham, all those guys, Nitro Fish. Appreciate everybody who helps out the show. We'll see you next time. WFO.
WFO!
This is
WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.